We got this new kind of cool name for Pastor Matt. You know, he's Matt Hammersky, you know? Matt Hammersky. Matt the Hammersky. Matt the Hammersky. So, are you ready? Here it is, Pastor Matt the Hammersky. There you go. Best introduction I got.
I don't know if I agree with that, but if you want to call me that, that's cool. I'm down with that. It's better than the name I had in high school. We won't go there. Oh, bow your heads tonight. We're going to pray. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for this service, God. I thank you for the awesome anointed worship that we were just in, Father. Help us not to forget the freedom, God, that you've given us, Father. Lord God, tonight, Lord, I ask, Lord, as I bring this word, God, I know there's something different in here tonight, Father. God, you're calling tonight. You're calling a generation, God. There are going to be kids in this room, God, that are called to ministry, Father. God, I believe that, God, 100%, Father, and I'm glad you're going to do it tonight, God. Lord God, we thank you for everything you're going to do. I rebuke any distractions in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Awesome. Tonight, what is, oh, yeah, that's off. Oh, yeah, and silence your cell phones. It's just, you know, that thing. Are they silenced? Is everyone's cell phone silenced? Danny's going to start calling y'all at random in the middle of service just to find out if your phone is silenced. No, I'm just kidding. That's not going to happen. Anyways, tonight, though, what we're talking about, Sydney, can you throw that on the screen? One of my best friends ever made this sweet graphic, and I was like, man, I was going to preach a message on Jonah and the whale, and I just didn't have a title, and he made this and put it on Facebook, and it's amazing. See, look right here. You see, that's Jonah, and this is the whale, okay? And it's tonight we're talking about the belly or the call. You have a choice. You choose the belly or the call. Now, does anybody know the story of Jonah? I'm sure you've heard it. It's a really big, I mean, people that don't even go to church at all know the story of Jonah and the whale. They're like, Jonah, he, you know, God called him. So tonight we're talking about callings, okay? Callings. When God calls you to something, he wants you to do it, okay? So God gives you a calling in your life, and he wants you to answer it, all right? So callings. Funny thing about a calling, and I said this a long time ago, and I like it. I was like, man, I accidentally said it, and I thought about it, and it was true, is it's called a calling for a reason, okay? It's not a choosing. You don't get to choose it. You don't get to say, God, this is what I want to do. God says, you're going to do this. This is what I've called you to do. This is what I made you to do. Did you know God made you to do something? Did you know that? It wasn't just an accident you're here. It's not just an accident you're here tonight. God has a calling for you, a unique, cannot talk, special purpose for you. And it's awesome. Now, callings, what you're talking about. So, you have a calling. Do you know what it is? And are you following it? Or do you even care? We always have those three questions at the beginning, usually. Do you know what it is? Are you doing it? Or do you care? Some of us just don't care. That's a reality. That's a reality I'm facing. Is some of us, we just don't care. We don't care. I was at a point in my life where I just didn't care. I didn't care what God called me to do. I didn't care. It was kind of like, I'm going to do what I want. So some of you might be in that position, which is bad. It's a bad place to be in, but I believe God can speak to you tonight. So, a calling. Do you know what it is? Jonah and the whale. For those of you that don't know the story, we're gonna briefly go over it, okay? I'm going to read it to you, but in a very, very paraphrased manner. All right. So it says, the Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Whatever. Can't read it. Amittai. So Jonah, right? Jonah, he was a dude, man. He was a prophet. Okay. Now, to be a prophet back in the day, we're talking about Old Testament, chop your head off, throw it over the fence, all that kind of stuff. Post it on a little stake. Old Testament. Okay. Jonah was a prophet. He was a minor prophet. Meaning he didn't have very much in the Bible. There's four chapters. When you get to the book of Jonah, you often pass it over on accident. And you turn back and you're like, what? Oh, Jonah. Oh, right. Jonah and the whale. So basically the whole story is about Jonah and the whale, okay? So Jonah, he's a prophet, right? Now back in that day, being a prophet meant you were legit, okay? Because when you came in somewhere, people feared you. They feared what you were bringing because that was God's messengers, okay? God didn't speak to everybody like he does now, all right? God spoke to prophets to bring messages to his people, because usually his people weren't listening to him anyways, so it didn't really matter. So he spoke to his prophet, Jonah, all right? So when Jonah came into town, you know, everybody was like, whew, there's a prophet. What's he going to say? Because if a prophet said something, he'd come in, you know, they walk into town, get off their stuff, you know, and normally everybody would be watching him like, oh my gosh, it's a prophet. What's he going to tell us? Oh no. Everybody's kind of hiding, you know, they're like, whew. And the other guy's like, man, I hope he didn't see what I was doing the other day. Hope God doesn't bring up my sin. Oh no. So they're sitting there scared, walking in, and the prophet will even come in and say, you know, I've come with great tidings. You know, I've got great news for you. I've come to encourage you. You know, I've come to be the Joel Osteen in your life right now. And everybody's just like, yes. You know, he's like, woo, yeah, I'm here to build you up. Everybody's great. But if he came in and he said, oh, you sinners, all a bunch of sinners, look at you. Yeah, you, especially you. Yeah, I'm looking at you. Yeah, I saw what you were doing yesterday. Yeah, sinners, all of you. And you know what? If you don't change your ways, God's going to destroy you tomorrow. Right when the sun gets in the sky, you're done. Everybody's like, huh? And they'd either be scared and they'd repent or they wouldn't, okay? It's generally like this is how it went over and over for years and years and years and years. And so prophets, their words carried a lot of weight. All right, so Jonah, he's a big guy. Prophets, okay. So God says to Jonah, he says, get up and go to the city of Nineveh. All right, so he tells Jonah, you know, he's sitting there, Jonah's walking into town, right? He's hanging out, everybody's like, whoa, it's Jonah, you know? And all of a sudden, he's hearing from the Lord. And God just comes in and says, Jonah, I want you to go to the city of Nineveh. Jonah, do you hear me? Oh, God, Nineveh, okay. And he says, announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked the people are. Jonah's just like, all right, okay, all right. But here's what happened. God gave that word to Jonah. Okay, now if you're hearing from God, this is where this loses me because I get a little crazy. If God says, hey, dude, go do something awesome. Okay, go do it. And you'd be like, wow, God just audibly spoke to me. Like, wow, I'm going, you know. Woo, I don't even know, but I'm going to go, right? Okay, well, this is what Jonah did. It says, but Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction. Okay, so he's like, all right, go this way. And Jonah's like, yeah, right, Lord. Okay, I'll see you later. Go on. But okay, you got to understand, though. If you're not understanding, like, okay, why did he so quickly? Nineveh was a terrible city, all right? Awful. They were bad people. I mean, they were thugs. Remember Danny dressed like a what was he? What were you dressed up like? A vato or whatever? What was he? A cholo. I don't even know. Jato. What? I don't even know. Churro? He was a churro. He's a churro. He's dressed up like a churro. No. Churro. Okay. So basically, Danny, that was that city was filled with that, okay? Everybody walked by, man, they would knife you. They would, and man, I love, if you've ever seen the VeggieTales version, oh my gosh, it's so amazing. Because in Nineveh, the people slap people with fishes, okay? That was the thing. They just kept slapping people with dead fishes. And God was like, I don't like that. But no, they were bad people. They were stuck in sin. So Jonah's like, no, I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. So he goes the other way, okay? So he goes down to the port of Joppa. He gets a ship. He's headed to Tarshish, which is like on the other end of the world, okay? So he's like, I'm going to go this way. God won't be able to find me here. I'm out of here, okay? Because one, Jonah was comfortable where he was at, all right? Jonah didn't want to go anywhere else. He liked where he was, okay? He didn't want to be in an uncomfortable situation. Now, God's calling on your life sometimes, actually pretty much all the time, is going to put you in an uncomfortable situation. It's going to make you go through some stuff that you don't want to deal with, really. That your flesh is like, ah, no, I don't want that. I have to learn? No, I don't want that. I have to change? No, I don't want that. No, not me. The calling of God. Not a choosing, it's a calling. So Jonah's running from the calling. Okay, so he books a ship with these questionable characters. And in VeggieTales, they're the pirates who don't do anything, which I just love. We are the pirates. Yeah, don't do anything. Man, y'all need to watch it. It's amazing. So the pirates that don't do anything, we'll just say right now, but they were just, you know, sailors, merchants. So he's on the ship. God sends just a storm, just a crazy storm. You know, and if you've ever noticed when God tells you to do something, and if some of you, God has told you to do something, you've heard God say something and you've done the opposite. And have you ever noticed it always seems to be a storm? You just, all of a sudden, everything is like, oh, what? You know, and it's God saying, no, I didn't say go that way. And in his mercy and his love, he's trying to get your attention. So here he is with Jonah. He sees Jonah fleeing, and Jonah literally thinks, like, okay, dude, I'm going to be able to get away. I'm on the ship. I'm out of here. It's set sail. And God's just looking at him like, what in the world? Where is he going? This is like the longest route to Nineveh I've ever seen in my life. He's like, he's trying to take the back door, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But I'm going to throw a storm at him. Whoosh! Horrible storm. Everything's awesome. Jonah's getting thrown around, you know, but Jonah's in the bottom, and he's sleeping. Okay, so you imagine somebody sleeping, and the ship is just rolling around, so they're like, so he's sleeping. I don't understand how you could sleep during that, but he's sleeping, okay? So the other guys wake him up. They're like, dude, we're about to die, man. So if you got a god, you know, and all these guys had different gods. They worshiped different idols. So they're like cutting themselves and praying and like, oh, God of somebody, you know, save us. Or, oh, I don't know who ticked you off, but I'm sorry. He's like, Jonah, do you have a god that you pray to? He's like, yeah, I worship the one true God, the Hebrew God. And they're like, we'll pray to him, you know, or something. So they cast lots, right? This is what they do. They'd stop and they'd throw some lots down. Whoever got the short, it's like drawing straws, you know, whoever got the short straw, that man, it's you. So they're like, what's wrong here, you know? So they drew these straws, right? Jonah's got the short straw. And Jonah finally spills the beans. He's like, all right, guys, I wasn't going to tell you this earlier, but the one true God, the real God, not your little idols that you worship, but the one true God who blows up, you know, cities and does all sorts of awesome things. Yeah, he told me to go somewhere and I didn't. So I'm on your ship. So if you just throw me in the water, I'm pretty sure he'll calm down. Okay, so just throw me in the water and it'll be all right. So you might think that maybe, you know, people say, no, let's calm down. Maybe we can figure out a better way. No, they didn't even think about that. They just grabbed him like, all right, cool. See you later. He's just like, ah! He goes in the water, you know? He splashes, and it says, God arranged. Okay, God arranged. I love that. It says, God arranged a giant fish, a whale, a big behemoth of a fish to come eat Jonah. All right? But he arranged it. See, the awesome thing about God is he's going to arrange appointments in your life. So whether you're going the wrong way or the right way, he's still going to arrange things to get your attention, to make you see. Sometimes we're oblivious. Sometimes we don't even see them. But sometimes you see them and you're like, whoa, what was that about? Has anybody in here been in like a near-death experience? Anybody? And it could have just been, you were gone. But something, you can't even explain it. It's just like, wow, God, there's a reason for that. He keeps you alive. He keeps you going. Even if you're in the wrong direction, it's like his mercy is just never-ending. He's always setting up things. He's always arranging things. So he arranges this fish, right, to come eat Jonah. Jonah's in the belly of the fish, right? He didn't die. He's in the belly of the fish. Now, this fish just ate some, like, nasty stuff, all right? So he's down in this fish. Imagine this probably smells like, I mean, how many of you like the smell of fish in general? Like, it just smells terrible, right? Imagine being on the inside of one, okay? One that's alive, all right? And it ate other fish, okay? So he's sitting there, he's in this thing, right? And he realizes, oh, God, I messed up, right? Have you ever got to the point where you realize, wow, I'm way off? Whoa, where am I? So he begins to pray, and I love his prayer. I'm just going to read you his prayer real quick. He says, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned to the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death as my life was slipping away. I remember the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in the holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to those songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Okay, so basically he's telling God, God, thanks for setting up this fish to eat me, because I would have just drowned and died. So thank you for that one. God, I'm sorry I screwed up. I know you're legit, and I'm ready to do what you want me to do, okay? Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Okay, so imagine this. Imagine if you're just strolling on the beach, right? You're like, playing in the sand and just, ooh, it's a nice day. You know, I like to get the sand in between my toes. You know, you're sitting there, and all of a sudden, this huge fish comes out of the water. It's just like, boosh, and it just kind of looks at you, and you're looking at it like, whoa. You know, you're just like, wow,
And then all of a sudden it just goes, and a guy just hits the shore, just, and he just kind of gets up. He's got just a little mucus and junk all over him. He's like, oh, thank God I'm alive. And this, you're just kind of sitting there like, dude, you stink. Whoa. But I mean, wow. So God orders the fish to spit him on land. Okay. And he's conveniently really close to Nineveh. Right. So here he is. He's like, oh, look, there's Nineveh. He's just like walking over. He decides to go to Nineveh. Okay. So he goes, he preaches to the people, and he walks into town. He's like, you need to repent. You're all sinners. I know what you were doing last night. You're a sinner. Yeah. You're going to hell. Oh, that's for sure. You need to repent. You need to repent right now. And something happened he didn't expect. He expected Nineveh to not receive his message. But they stopped, and they were like, oh, my gosh, we are sinners. We are far away from God. You know, it was kind of like hearing an echo. He's like, you're a sinner. I'm a sinner. You need to repent. I need to repent. You know, and he was just like, what's going on here? You know, he's just like, okay, you know, whatever. He's like, well, it's too late for y'all because God told me he's going to destroy you, you know. So, you know, whether you repent or not. But they start repenting. They start crying out to God, and God turns from his wrath, and he says, you know what, I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them because they've turned back to me. And Jonah, he gets upset. He's like, God, what the heck? What the heck? These people are evil. All right? This is just a game, you know? He's like, God, he tells God, as one of the reasons, if I can get to it here. There we go. It says, the change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say, okay, do I have this, Sydney? Can you throw that up? Okay, sweet. The change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry, so he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry, filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predicted will not happen. Man. He's like, God, I knew you were awesome, and I knew you were full of love. I knew you were going to do this. I didn't want to come out here. Why? What gets messed over if what he predicted didn't come true? Him. He was concerned about him. He was like, I said the city was going to get destroyed, and if it don't get destroyed, that means when I come back into another town, people are going to be like, oh, look, there's Jonah. His predictions don't come true. He didn't want that. He was thinking about, what, his glory, not God's glory. Let me tell you something. Look at your hands. Amazing, amazing fact right here. Look at your hands. Your hands were not made to receive glory. Did you know that? They were made to give glory. Your hands weren't made to receive glory. They were made to give glory. They were made to give blessings. You weren't made to receive glory. Glory is not for you. Glory is for God. So Jonah, he wanted glory. When you get in your calling, you find out what your calling is and you begin to walk in it, you can do some amazing things. God will anoint you in amazing ways that you didn't even think possible. You can say things. You could pray for people and they could be healed. They could get up out of their wheelchair, just walk around. You could do some amazing things. But the one thing you have to remember, listen to me. If you get to that point, you're walking in God's anointing, you're following the calling he has for your life, and you start to forget what he pulled you out of, you're in trouble. If you forget where you came from, you're going to go back to it. Why? You start to think it's about who? Me. God, I don't want to preach this youth service because every time I preach, a lot of kids come to the altar, and I really want them to come to the altar so they know that they're sinners because I preached an awesome message. What? What is that about? That guy sounds like a jerk. Why? Because it's about God's glory. It's not about your glory. God has a calling for you. It's not your choosing. It's his calling to bring him glory. So the one thing, let me explain to you something. What I'm called to do is what I'm doing right now. Okay? What I'm called to do is to affect your generation. Whatever capacity, whatever scale, God knows that. But I'm in it where God tells me to go. It's a calling. It's not a choosing. Yes, there's plenty of days when I don't want to do this. When I wake up and I'm like, God, I really don't want to do this right now. Or God, I'd rather do this. Or God, I'd rather go get this job that takes all my time and make lots of money. God, I'd rather do that. And God's like, no, I called you to this. And see, the amazing thing is, if I would go do that, I'd be miserable. Why? Because the calling is where God made you to be. God's calling is where you need to be. So, calling sometimes puts you in difficult situations. When God calls you, you have to answer. When God calls you, he calls you to answer right away. Throw up that verse, because any Matthew. And there it is. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. At once. This guy they didn't even really know walks up to him, and they're fishing. Their everyday job, what they do every day, their routine. And he says, hey, guys, you come follow me, dude. I'll show you some awesome things. I'll show you how to fish for people. I'll show you how to save souls. I'll show you how to really wreck this place up. And they're just like, huh. Drop their nets and they walk off with him. But when God calls you, that's what he expects. He calls you. He looks at you and he says, Zachary, come follow me. And Zachary might be like, okay, Lord. Hold on, let me finish this game, this last game of Call of Duty. All right? I'm really in a good level here, and I really feel like I'm going to win, okay? And then after that, I'll follow you. All right, whatever. So it's just like, God wants you to follow him immediately. Throw up that picture I have, Sydney. Now, see, Jesus wants you to follow you, and I saw this picture, and it made me laugh, like, a whole lot. It says, LOL. Jesus is talking to this really hip dude on the bench, right? And Jesus is saying to this guy, no, I'm not talking about Twitter. I literally want you to follow me, Jesus. And the guy's like, what? You know, like, Jesus, I followed you on Twitter. I got Jesus account. No, dude, I want you to follow me, not on Twitter. But it's kind of like this generation, we got things that we put ahead of God. We're like, God, no, I'm busy. God, no, I'm busy. And it's like, that's ridiculous, but that's kind of like what we do, you know? We're like, God, what do you mean you want me to follow you? What, you want me to go do that? No, I got some stuff I got to do. I really want to take a 3-hour nap and then wake up, eat like a double cheeseburger, and then just hang out. All right? Okay, go to the next verse, Sydney. So when you begin to answer the call, you step into a new anointing. Answering the call and walking in your call that God has for you is the quickest way to destroy the enemy's kingdom. Okay, remember what Danny was talking about last week? Paul? You remember Paul? Okay, well, Paul was walking in his calling. God called him. You remember when he was talking about where God called him? He blinded him with light, and he said, I want you to go preach the word to my people. I want you to go preach the word to the people that you were destroying. So Paul starts walking in his calling. He's doing, miracles are happening. God's working through him, and the whole time he's saying, it's not me. It's not me. It's God. It's God. It's God. It's God. He keeps saying that. And then all of a sudden, it just all these crazy things happen. And read right here. It says, God did extraordinary miracles through Paul so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched him were taken to the sick and their illnesses were cured and the evil spirits left them. So Paul didn't even pray for these people. People put rags and junk on him or things that touched him or like his robe or something. I mean, imagine somebody snatching your robe, like just grabbing it off of you. You're like, what are you doing? He's like, I got a brother. He's sick. I got to go. All right, cool, kind of cold. All right, whatever. So, but they would take rags and stuff, and they just throw them at people. Like let's say, like you got a headache. They got a little like handkerchief that Paul was like blowing his nose on and stuff, and they throw it on your head, and all of a sudden you're like, whoa, I don't have a headache anymore, and amazingly I'm smarter. I don't know what's going on. No, but seriously, like this stuff, like and evil spirits would leave, like people that were possessed, like the exorcist kind of stuff. You know, they're just like, I'm possessed. They throw something that Paul had, and they're just like, oh, hello, how's it going? I need to fix my hair. What's going on? You know, but so these amazing things would happen just through things that Paul had touched. Keep going, because he was walking in his calling. Now, this coming up, this is how you know. Listen, right here, I'm almost done. This is how you know that you're walking in God's calling, and you are one bad dude, as Danny was saying, or one bad chick instead of dude, or, you know, dudette. That works too. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Okay, so these random dudes that heard about what Paul and, you know, Jesus and everything was about, they're going and praying for people, right, that are demon-possessed. There's people that are just like, I'm demon-possessed, you know? And they're just like, all right, in the name of Jesus, that Paul preaches about. And Paul, demon, come out. All right, so let's see what happens. Go to the next part. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. Okay, so telling you who was doing this. One day, the evil spirit answered them. Okay, so they've been praying for these people and praying for these people. You know, nothing really happening. And one day, the evil spirit talks back. All right? Now, that's crazy, right? Like, he's sitting there praying for somebody, and all of a sudden, this other person comes out of this person. And it looks at him, and it says, it's just like, comes down, and is looking at him. He's like, all right, dude, listen up. Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. So there was eight guys out there, and this guy, this one dude, overpowers all of them, okay? He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding, okay? So this guy overpowers eight guys, this evil spirit, and beats the trash out of them, all right? He's just like, bam! Bam, they're trying to get away. They're like, oh, and he's like ripping their clothes off and like kicking them. Like, where are you going? No, I don't want any more. You know, they throw them out of the house and they're just running. They all run out and they're running. Okay, so picture this. They're butt naked here. They're running out. They're like, ah! And they're running out. They're bleeding, screaming like little girls, and they just take off. So people are talking about it. They're like, whoa, what happened? Go to the next part. Go to the next part. There we go. When this became known to the Jews and the Greeks living in Ephesus, they were all seized with fear, and the name of the Lord Jesus was held high in honor. So when this happened, Paul wasn't even there, but because Paul had walked in his calling so diligently, because he served the Lord so diligently, because he went everywhere that the Lord called him to go, even demons knew who he was. Hell knew who he was. They were like, dude, this dude is like beating us up. He's going into town after town, winning souls. This is just destroying our kingdom. So the fastest way to destroy the enemy's kingdom is to walk in your calling. Imagine when Zach woke up, when he woke up and he got out of his bed, literally the devil was just like, oh, dang it. Zach's awake. Gosh, kid irritates me so much. Goes to school, he brings his Bible. He talks to his friends about Jesus. Oh, I hate it. It's so bad. It's so bad. I hate this so much. Imagine if that happened when you got up because you were walking in your calling and you became one bad dude like Danny was talking about. So here's the deal. God's calling is a great, awesome thing. But the thing is, as soon as you step up to the calling, the enemy is going to attack you that much more because he sees your potential. He sees if you follow God's path, he sees where it's going to take you. If you walk after God, if you do the things God has called you to do, the devil knows he's in trouble. See, when I got called into ministry, when I decided to like do youth ministry, just to go through with youth ministry, that weekend I went on a trip. I was on my way to Tennessee. My mom had a heart attack, all right? She had a heart attack. They thought she was going to die. She had like 10% of her heart working or whatever. So they called me and they were like, yeah, yeah, we know you can't get here, but you know, it's not looking good. I was convinced that my mom was going to die. All right. Like I was like, this is happening. You know, she's dead. And it was like immediately the devil began to just whisper in my ear. It's like, she's going to die. Are you sure you want to do this? She's going to die. They sent my dad. They thought my dad had lung cancer. Okay, they had some random scan. This is all the weekend before I left. They just, all this happened. And I had just decided before I left, I'm going to do youth ministry. I'm going to follow God's calling. And all this stuff happened. And I was like, and I'm sitting in a car. I can't do anything. And the devil just begins to just hammer me with all this stuff. Are you sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? Why was he fighting me so hard? He didn't want me to do my calling. Why? Because he knew that by me doing my calling, I would affect one of you. And then one of you would go affect somebody else. And then somebody else would go affect somebody else. And somebody else would affect thousands of people. It's a whole line. It's just like dominoes that just... It's like, wow. He didn't want that. So you know what? I told the devil. You know what I told him? You know what I told him? Does anybody know? I said, shut up! Just like that. I told the devil, I told him, shut up! I said, you know what? Even my mom dies, she'd still want me to do this. So I'm doing it. Cram it. Guess what? The next day, my mom's heart was at 50% overnight. Now she's been in here several times. And my dad did not have lung cancer. It was a scar from when he had pneumonia when he was two. that they thought was lung cancer. All right? So the devil is going to attack you. He's going to make you feel like everything is caving in, but hold on. Because as soon as you break through, you'll see, okay, he ain't got nothing on me. I'm doing this. Just bulldoze through your school. Begin to talk to your friends about Jesus. Pray about your calling. Say, God, where do you want me to go to school? God, do you want me to do this job? God, do you want me to do this? Because for the longest time, I would just do something. I'd be like, well, I'm going to go here. I wouldn't pray about anything. But when you're serving God, it says he orders your steps. It says the righteous man's steps are ordered by God. But take the time and say, God, especially in big decisions, God, do I need to go to this school? God, should I major in this? God, what is your calling for my life? Bow your heads. Tyler, if you and Adria would just come.